be reading a passage on pages 142 to 144 of Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried. Slowly then, circling the lake, Norman Bowker would have started by describing the Song Tra Bong. A river, he would have said, this slow, flat, muddy river. He would have explained how during the dry season it was exactly like any other river, nothing special, but how in October the monsoons began and the whole situation changed. For a solid week the rains never stopped, not once, and so after a few days the Song Tra Bong overflowed its banks and the land turned into a deep, thick muck for a half mile on either side. Just muck, no other word for it, like quicksand, almost, except the stink was incredible. You couldn't even sleep, he'd tell his father. At night you'd find a high spot and you'd doze off, but then later you'd wake up because you'd be buried in all that slime. You'd just sink in, feel it ooze up over your body and sort of suck you down. And the whole time there was that constant rain. I mean, it never stopped, not ever. Sounds pretty wet, his father would have said, pausing briefly. So what happened? You really want to hear this? Hey, I'm your father. Norman Bowker smiled. He looked out across the lake and imagined the feel of his tongue against the truth. Well, this one time, this one night out by the river, I wasn't very brave. You have 7 medals. Sure. 7, count 'em. You weren't a coward, either. Well, maybe not. But I had the chance and blew it. The stink, that's what got me. I couldn't take that goddamn awful smell. If you don't want to say any more, I do want to. All right, then. Slow and sweet. Take your time. The road descended into the outskirts of town, turning northwest past the junior college and the tennis courts, then past Chautauqua Park, where the picnic tables were spread with sheets of colored plastic, and where picnickers sat in lawn chairs and listened to the high school band playing Sousa Marches Under the Band Shell. The music faded after a few blocks. He drove beneath a canopy of elms, then along a stretch of open shore, then past the municipal docks, where a woman and pedal pusher stood casting for bullheads. There were no other fish in the lake, except for a perch and a few worthless carp. It was a bad lake for swimming and fishing both. He drove slowly. No hurry, nowhere to go. Inside the Chevy, the air was cool and oily smelling, and he took pleasure in the steady sounds of the engine and air conditioning. A tour bus feeling, in a way, except the town he was touring seemed dead. Through the windows, as if in a stop-motion photograph, the place looked as if it had been hit by nerve gas, everything still and lifeless, even the people. The town could not talk and would not listen. How'd you like to hear about the war, he might have asked, but the place could only blink and shrug. It had no memory, therefore no guilt. The taxes got paid and the votes got counted, and the agencies of government did their work briskly and politely. It was a brisk, polite town. It did not know shit about shit and did not care to know. Norman Bowker leaned back and considered what he might have said on the subject. He knew shit. It was a specialty, the smell in particular, but also the numerous varieties of texture and taste. Someday he'd give a lecture on the topic, put on a suit and tie, and stand up in front of the Kiwanis Club and tell the fuckers about all the wonderful shit he knew. Pass out samples, maybe. Smiling at this, he clamped the steering wheel slightly right of center, which produced a smooth, clockwise motion against the curve of the road. The Chevy seemed to know its own way. The sun was lower now. 5:55, he decided, 6 o'clock tops. Along an unused railway spur, 4 workmen labored in the shadowy red heat, setting up a platform and steel launchers for the evening fireworks. They were dressed alike in khaki trousers, work shirts, visored caps, and brown boots. Their faces were dark and smudgy. Want to hear about the Silver Star I almost won? Norman Bowker whispered, but none of the workmen looked up. Later, they would blow color into the sky. The lake would sparkle with reds and blues and greens like a mirror, and the picnickers would make low sounds of appreciation.